Passover and Easter are clearly related, and not simply by the proximity in the Bible and in the Gospel narrative. The Last Supper was a Passover Seder conducted on a Thursday night, and Easter and Good Friday followed. And a lot of Unitarians ask, why is Good Friday good? Because it's a sad day. It's the crucifixion. And it's Good Friday because of the understanding that we make a deal with life and death, and that Good Friday for Christians is the instrument of salvation. If there is no Good Friday, if Jesus marries Mary Magdalene and they open a B&B on the Red Sea get really good extended health care insurance and live out to ripe old age, there's no Christianity. If the lambs are not slaughtered in Egypt during the Passover, there is, according to the story, no Passover, no salvation, no redemption. Both holidays, both holy days, share so much in terms of symbolism and of theme, and are so honest to life. And I think that that's part of what keeps these stories in our hearts and in our celebrations. When you look at the symbols of Passover and of Easter, you have the lamb, you have the green of spring and the flowers, and you have eggs. You have the beginnings of stories of salvation that come from the blood of the lamb. When Israel was in Egypt land and wanted to go, the Passover was named the Passover because the Hebrews were instructed to slaughter lambs and to mark the doorposts of the houses by the blood of the lamb, that the angel of death might pass over them. And the angel of death, having passed over them, gave them the opportunity to perform the Exodus and to escape slavery and bondage and suffering and pain and be reborn into a new life as free people. The blood of the Lamb, Agnostai, is clearly central to Christianity, the idea that Christians are saved by the sacrifice and Jesus becoming the Lamb of God. The symbolism of these stories, beginning in sacrifice and pain and leading to rebirth, tie them together thematically. They begin on that sad and tragic note, and that even when you are dealing with the Hebrew story of both the killing of the firstborn Egyptian and later on the drowning of the Egyptians, there's a story that's told in the Midrash where the angels are celebrating as the Egyptians are being drowned. And God rebukes the angels and says, no, you may not sing, you may not rejoice. Sacrifice and pain and death may be necessary, but they are always tragic and never an opportunity for rejoicing. So we look at the sacrifices of the world. We look at what each individual may sacrifice in order to live, in order to make choices that fulfill us, our families, and our values. We look at the opportunity that these holidays and holy days illustrate with their symbolism of how complete and complex the circle of life is. The story of Easter, which begins really on Good Friday and the blood of the Lamb, and then the rising of the sun, is a universal journey, a journey from darkness to light, a journey from death to birth to rebirth. Christians talk a lot about being born again and the whole born again experience, but this is the central image of both faiths. The idea that all of us have these moments of darkness, have these times of tragedy, can feel overwhelmed with anxiety, with loss, with death, with all of those things that weigh on our souls. And what both Passover and Easter and the circle and cycle of the seasons teach us is that rebirth of the world and rebirth of our souls and spirits are central to our religious faith, because our faith is a faith in life. The story of the Passover is a birthing story. In the west, where the sun sets in a land of darkness, through the parting of the Red Sea. And the parting of the Red Sea is a canal. And the Hebrews pass through this canal and are reborn onto the desert. Now, in case you think I'm making up all of this pre-Freudian and Jungian symbolism, I encourage all of you to go home and read the good parts of the Bible, Song of Songs, where you will quickly understand with the very earthy and sexy symbolism that our ancestors understood symbolism as well as any of us. And it was a birth story. And in case anybody misses that from darkness to light through a canal, that canal in Hebrew is called Mitzrayim, which is the squeezed place. And the people are reborn out onto the land where they are taken care of, like children are taken care of. They are fed manna from heaven. And manna does not mean breadfruit. Manna is the Hebrew word that means, what is it? And when they looked at manna, where they were not grateful. They looked at it and they said, what is it? You call this a meal? You, the great God who freed us from slavery, who parted the Red Sea, this is dinner? And it did not become delicious until the people were given the law and kept the law. And then the what is it became flavored with honey and cardamom when they started to grow up. The story of the Exodus, in the normal telling of the Passover story, is the story of a people being reborn and having new hope. But it's also the story of every non-Caesarean delivery, of a passage from dark through a channel into light, where you're taken care of, where you're fed, where you're loved, where you then rebel when daddy goes away, whether it's to Mount Sinai or just to the mall, and you start to party, and then dad comes back and goes, what were you thinking? And you don't know. And eventually you kind of get the idea, and you grow up, and you find partners, and you have your own family who also will rebel, but that's another story. And then you come to another river, from the Red Sea to the Jordan. Each of us gets a lap of life. And we pass on from generation to generation our values, ourselves, the things that we care about. And as Khalil Gibran said, and as the Bible indicates, we get to that other river, and that's not for us to cross. That's for our children to. Easter takes that journey and turns it from a horizontal journey from the west to the east, hence Easter. That's the East and Easter. A couple of years ago, my wife said, does Easter and East have anything in common? Yes, it's the root of it. It's a journey to the sun, to the light, to the sunrise. And the Christian story takes the Exodus, and because they understood that the Exodus was not the end of the story. You get into the Promised Land, and there's still work to do for the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,000 years. It seems to be endless. So what the Christian story says is, look, this world is a land of suffering. And we're going to turn the story onto a vertical axis so that the journey becomes from the world, a place of suffering, to a rebirth of the spirit into the heavens and into an eternal place. However you may want to understand that, the metaphors and the images are the same. You have from the lamb bone to the egg, to the greenery, to the flowers. And the egg, a universal symbol of life. Why is it that we celebrate eggs and bunnies? Now, I did okay in biology, but I never really got to the point where I understood the connection of eggs and bunnies. It's about fertility. The egg is this, contains this life. When you look at a fertile egg that's underneath the hen, you have no way of knowing that there's life in there, that there's life hidden inside that egg, that it can be cracked and opened and life emerges. And we are asked to consider our own lives and the shells that we have around ourselves and sometimes our own hearts, and understand that there is life and spirit inside there waiting to come out, even when we can't see it, even when we can't feel it. That egg, and of course the bunnies, all about fertility, all about the world coming back to life, all about the flowers that seem to die, but their seeds are sown in the fall. And then in the spring, buried though they might have been underneath snows, buried though our own hopes and desires and optimism might have been under misfortune, they can spring forth from life, out of despair, out of depression, out of slavery, as we sing, "Go Down, Moses." There's a reason that that song resonated in the Black Church. Black Church understood two things very clearly about the Bible. From Hebrew scriptures, they understood the Exodus and understood wanting to get out of Pharaoh's land and cross the Jordan Atlantic into a new land where they would be reborn. And they understood Good Friday. They understood the crucifixion, what it was like to be rejected and flayed and nailed to a tree or hung from a tree. All of these stories resonate in the history of peoples. They resonate as the big story of peoples and religions, and they resonate as the small but universal story of each of us. Our moods, our lives may not be linked strictly to the turning of the seasons, but the seasons serve as a metaphor for us and our spirits. We may decide to get depressed in the springtime and feel wonderful in the winter, but the metaphor of summer, fall, winter, spring tells a truth about the human condition. Some people believe that faith is constancy, and that if you get discouraged and if you get depressed, somehow you have lost faith, somehow you have lost yourself. What I commend to you in the scripture are the penultimate words of Jesus on Good Friday, where he cried out, "Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" If Jesus, the exemplar of good faith, can feel lost and abandoned and feel despair, crying out those words from the 22nd Psalm, so different from the 23rd, but both the 22nd and the 23rd are fundamental to the reality of who we are as human beings. The moments of abject despair, of existential crisis, and the peace that we can then make with "God is my shepherd, I shall not want." All of those are true about our condition. As people of faith, as people of all faiths, we are called to be faithful to the promise of spring, to believe that the sun sets and the sun also rises, that we share the laughter and we bear the pain, and we help one another find a springtime in the heart and bring spring to each other. At Christmas, we are the sun carriers, believing that the sun will rise again. In the springtime, the seasons having fully kept their promise, the beauty of the earth returning, we take a picture with our hearts of days such as today. And when our spirits are dark, we go back and we summon those pictures up to warm us, to fill us, to energize us with an appreciation of the remarkable gift of life that we have and that we share. Happy Passover, happy Easter.